about.
Well, another Friday has snuck up on us, and our old familiar gang is on hand, only this time we're in unusual surroundings.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
We've traveled to every corner of the United States. I've now been in 57 states.
Ever since Obama has been reelected president, this whole country has gone to Let me show you what I mean and how bad it is. This book sucks. Thanks, Obama. SPF 30? That's racist. I need at least SPF 50. Thanks, Obama. What the f*** is in my sink? Thanks, Obama. Time travel, still not an option. Thanks, Obama. Nobody even liked my Facebook status. Thanks, Obama. Ugh. Just got my period again. Thanks, Obama. You know what? I'm probably gonna die someday. Thanks, Obama.
We will find out who did this. We'll find out why they did this. Any responsible individuals, any responsible groups will feel the full weight of justice.
Thanks, Obama.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Why do I need all of these buttons?
Roll another one.
You're a horrible person.
Just like the other one.
I don't care.
This one seems to be about
That is racist and only part true.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Bingo.
Roll. Roll another one.
Yeah, what's up?
Just like.
Long hair, don't care.
And I don't have another cent.
You have been told to follow your dreams. What if it's a stupid dream?
But I won't guard that joint.
That's the first cool thing you've ever said.
Just pass it around.
My vagina is so dry.
But I won't guard that joint, my friend.
But let me just say, nice.
And now,
this is the best announcement since all those pandas got pregnant.
I don't know what that means.
Our feature presentation.
I feel like that girl a lot. I don't know what that means. We all seem happy. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin Amico. It is Friday. It is the 15th of May.
So you had rain for the second time in a month?
That was insane.
What's going on, you guys?
Mayhem. It's insanity.
You may not survive to see the San Andreas movie that destroys Los Angeles. Los Angeles may be underwater by then, the way it's going.
Oh, man.
None of this helps the drought, though, right?
Not at all.
I just want to make sure somehow how much it rains.
Somehow that's always a given.
Yeah.
So, Allie, what kind of news coverage did you see last night?
Amazing people running into stores with plastic bags over their heads, running for their lives.
That's crazy.
It's amazing. People on every street corner with their team coverage. Doppler radar 5000.7.0. It was just riveting.
Good times. Well, I'm glad you guys all made it in, man.
Yeah, it was touch and go.
Get the sled dogs up, whatever it took to get into the show this morning. I appreciate that.
There's more rain today, man.
Yeah.
Dude, what are you going to do?
Whew.
Crazy.
Right?
Hey, I got a story to get us going here on this Friday morning Kevin and Bean show, another one involving an airline. We had that story just a couple of days ago about that kerfuffle that erupted with a 15-year-old autistic girl and the plane being diverted. Well, this plane was not diverted. But it's another bizarre story that involves, this time, Southwest Airlines. There's a woman named Karen Momsen Evers. She's a Wisconsin woman. She was flying back home to Milwaukee from New Orleans when she's on the plane before they take off, and she receives a text message from her husband that says he's going to kill himself.
Oh.
So she texts him back and, you know, tries to calm him down. What's going on? Please don't. I'll be home soon. You know, all the usual stuff you can imagine. And wanted to call him, but the flight attendant would not allow her to call him. In fact, she tried. The flight attendant, who in this case was a man, slapped the phone down and said, "You need to go on airplane mode now," according to the woman and her later interview with the TV station. She said she explained the situation, that it was an emergency, and the flight attendant said, "It's an FAA regulation. You're not allowed to make a call. And by the way, does anyone in a billion years believe that making a call would bring a plane down?
Never.
No, I don't understand that still.
She was concerned, of course. She tried once again to call after the flight was at cruising altitude after the plane had taken off. She wanted to make an emergency call, and she was rebuffed by another flight attendant and said that she could not. Here's where the story gets sad. She lands back in Milwaukee from New Orleans. She calls the local police. They meet her at her home where, in fact, her husband had committed suicide. So what's going through her mind at this point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. Do you blame the airlines? I'm sure they get a million sob stories. I don't mean to be cruel, because in this case it was a real emergency, but they must get a million people who say, "You don't understand.
Yeah.
I'm trying to buy a house. You don't understand. It's the babysitter," whatever it is. I bet people try all the time to make calls, and if they're not allowed to let them make calls, what are they supposed to do, right?
Am I not getting this? How do you make a call from cruising altitude? That's possible?
I don't know the answer to that. All it said in the article is that she tried to make a call from cruising altitude, and they said no. So here's what Southwest says. "We are unable to share details surrounding this event, but are saddened to learn of Miss Evers' loss, and the Southwest family extends our deepest condolences. She says, 'I go to sleep at night thinking of what I could have done and what I should have done. The pain of knowing something could have been done, it breaks my heart.'" I mean,
might have been done, though, is the thing, too.
Yeah, we don't know.
It's possible she could have called him and not helped.
Yeah, we don't know what would have happened. And it also seems, by the way, I mean, you know, it's easy in hindsight. I mean, we know nothing about this man. We don't know anything about this relationship. It could be that he threatened to kill himself every day for all we know. How seriously should she have taken it? For instance, when she was still on the ground, instead of texting him back and forth, she certainly could have asked to be let off the plane, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in retrospect, again, it's easy to say that, but I'm sure in her mind she was thinking, well, here he goes again. I'll see him in a couple of hours and we'll work this out. You know, you never know the one where he says, "I'm going to kill myself," is the one that actually he follows through. So I don't know in retrospect, I mean, she could have, you know, made a threat and made them force land the plane. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do, but again, you don't know how seriously to take that threat. But just a terrible story, and I'm sure Southwest isn't crazy about it either.
I'm trying to figure out if there is some sort of emergency. Is there any way to get a hold of someone other than a pilot calling the control tower and saying, "We need to get a hold of blah, blah, blah"?
Mm-hmm.
Because is there any way to make a phone call? Are there, if there's not that phone in the back of the seat, which I don't even think there are on most
planes? Yeah, I don't even think they make those in any current models. Yeah.
I imagine it depends on what city you're over. Maybe there are cities that have coverage. I don't know.
Yeah, because if you had to get word to somebody, and I can't imagine what the scenario would be, but if you had to, I guess the only way to do it would probably go through the airline. I'm sure they'd have some way to contact their in-flight crew. So anyway, I don't know. There's as opposed to the story a couple days ago, there's no mention here of further action or lawsuit or anything like that. It could just be a very sad story, but an unusual one, that's for sure.
Thanks, Bean.
Yeah, it's a good start to the Friday.
Right?
That's a great choice.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
Yes. Wow, you know how to kick things off. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
No way. No way. No way this can happen in our city. No!
Movie Beat will be on the program today, as it is Friday.
Apparently it is happening in our city.
We have Jim Gaffigan, comedian on the show.
He's funny.
About that. He's very funny. Mm-hmm. We have a trip to Las Vegas. Been giving away that every day this week. We have a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, and we have your tickets in the pit and backstage for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta.
That is many things.
That is many things, and that's coming up. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Ralph Garman is here.
Yeah.
Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning.
Scared me.
How are you, Ralph?
I'm spectacular.
What's going on, man?
Well, the thrill is gone for B.B. King.
Yeah.
See, Kevin, that was a very popular song.
I'm very sad about this one, by the way.
dude, he was 89 years old.
I know.
And one of the great legendary careers in music, was playing up until really just months ago.
I know.
40 Look. Studio albums, Blues Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, 15-time Grammy winner. What more do you want from a life?
I agree.
Well, you don't because you're so sad about it.
I'm still sad because he's a nice man and beloved and the, right? probably the most popular blues singer in history.
None of that changes. it wasn't caught effing a kangaroo.
Right. I get you.
You don't get me.
Wait, was he your friend?
I did meet him one time, but no, he was not my friend.
Not your friend. Okay.
No.
Kevin, don't start that. Don't start the King of Mexico mentality. Was you can't mourn someone unless they were your close personal friend or family member.
No, I just want to check with Bean and see where he was on this.
I just admired him so much, and it's just sad, you know. That's all. You're allowed to be sad when somebody you admire a great deal dies, right?
Sure.
Okay.
But you can also choose to celebrate the life.
I agree.
I don't think you do. I don't think you agree.
He agrees that you can. He just chooses not to.
I just won't. I'd rather wallow in the negative. I'm afraid of death, particularly my own.
I don't want anyone to die, actually, is what it points out to, except for Muggs. I did bring a clip of The Thrill Is Gone, if you want to hear it, because some of our listeners may not know his signature song. Is now a good time?
Great R&B
too. I want to be a duck living by the sea, much as I like being me. They've got wings and they can fly. They can swim and so can I. Instead of growing up, I wanna be a duck, and I'll never give up until I'm a duck, until I'm a duck.
He will be missed.
Stunning how some people can still find that entertaining.
I still do.
I know.
I still
because
like
you're
it.
A child.
I enjoy that.
For reals. Hit
here,
it, Steve.
No, here's the thing.
Hit it.
Thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away.
Good music right
that's
there.
That's soul, baby.
Yeah, that's amazing.
He taught himself how to play guitar. It always blows me away when I hear that. One of the great guitar players of all time.
Just sits down just with
sat
it, figures
down
it
and
out.
And learned how to manipulate that instrument on his own.
Do those
Madness.
Guys? Do you think those guys have the same fingering and everything? Or do they
A lot
sort
of them
work
don't.
Out whatever?
A lot of them don't. They just that's find crazy. Their own way. And, of course, his guitar was called Kevin.
Come on.
You know, Ben, you know this one.
Oh.
Blue.
Betty.
Betty Blue?
Are
Betty
you
Blue.
Serious?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, his guitar was not called Leonardo DiCaprio.
I don't remember.
Lucille.
Lucille.
Lucille was the legendary name of every guitar he ever played.
Sure.
Kevin, I've had it.
I'm sorry, Rodney.
We've all had it. Johnny Depp's dogs are going to join B.B. King.
Yeah, what's this deal? Give me the latest on this. This has been a tragic story to follow.
That's a great headline.
He's down under in Australia. Filming the fifth installment of the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, Dead Men Tell No Tales. And according to Australian customs officials, he snuck his two Yorkshire Terriers, Pistol and Boo, into the country without following their rules.
Uh-oh.
And they were uncovered by a, let me get this this phrase right because it made me laugh so hard, a biosecurity officer.
Biosecurity?
That's a thing. Hello, mate. I'm a biosecurity officer. And I'm taking Pistol and Boo down to be euthanized. The government says that such dogs can carry diseases as rabies, leishmania, leptospirosis.
Oh, you don't want that.
Ehrlichia, and other unpronounceable maladies.
Look, every country, every civilized country in the world has some sort of a check-in for animals coming into the country. It's reasonable.
Right.
Yes. But that being said, they are demanding the death of Johnny Depp's dogs. The Australian Minister of Agriculture, Barnaby Joyce. Now that's an Australian name, brother. G'day, mate. I'm Barnaby Joyce. I'm going to kill your dogs. He said, I don't hate Johnny Depp's dogs, but I dislike the way that someone comes into our nation and doesn't go through the proper process. So you're basically standing away from the law of this nation.
Yeah.
They speculate that Johnny hid his dogs in his Louis Vuitton bag when he arrived in Australia. There's a online petition you can sign. Over 6,500 people have signed a petition that's entitled, It's Almost Time to Kill Johnny Depp's Dogs.
Wait, so that's... So that's on the positive side or
the petition is for it?
It's against it.
Against, oh, against
they're trying to get you motivated before the time.
I see.
We got a countdown clock
on
there.
If you sign it, you're like, yes, it's almost time. I agree.
Nope.
Okay.
So look, what they should do.
72 hours, death to Pistol and Boo. Crikey.
What they should do is whatever they were going to do had he followed protocol and come brought the dogs into the country is they should quarantine him or vet
check
him.
Too late for that now, mate.
Whatever. Barnaby, come on.
Time to kill the dogs. Throw them on the barbie.
Just check him out. Give him a clean bill of health.
No theft to the dogs.
Give a tremendous fine to Mr. Depp.
Hit him with a boomerang. Then blow a didgeridoo up their bums. Rumor has it the two dogs are boarding a private jet tomorrow and will be flown out of Australia back to the United States.
Did they have to? Does he have to sneak them out of the country, or are they allowed to leave?
They're allowed to leave.
Okay.
Apparently. And Barnaby says that's probably the wisest move. He told the BBC he believed that they were leaving by private jet on Friday.
I don't believe he said it in an American accent, though, Ralph.
No, he did. That's the wisest move, mate.
I like to picture Johnny Depp in the bushes waiting to run his dogs out to the plane.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Chaz Palminteri is 69 years old today. Actor David Krumholtz turns 37. Jamie Lynn Sigler from The Sopranos is 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm trying to say as little as possible about this. Speaking of awesome events happening this year, we're not allowed to say anything except
right.
Monday morning. 8 o'clock hour, one of the coolest things we've ever been able to be a part of is going to be revealed on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know what we're talking about, Ralph? The thing
with
the thing?
Yeah. But that was poorly done.
Well,
speaking of awesome events that are happening this year, who was talking about that?
We were talking about the Mumford & Sons coming to town, and then I thought, well, I want to talk about the other thing, but I can't really reveal whether it's a concert or what it is. I don't want to say too much. I just got nervous about getting my pee-pee whacked. So I just want to say Monday morning at the 8 o'clock hour, big, big doings here on the Kevin Bean Show, so you definitely do not want to miss it.
Does Bean get his pee-pee whacked?
An expression. Just an expression.
For extra cash if you tip heavily.
This is a huge weekend at the movies, and Ralph's going to tell us all about it with the Movie Beat here.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Bunch of new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Some small independent films. And then the monster that is Mad Max Fury Road. We'll touch on that. But first, let's get to Set Fire to the Stars, which is a film in limited release opening this weekend. Elijah Wood co-stars with Kellan Jones, a really talented Welsh actor. In this story, apparently based on a true story, about an aspiring poet in 1950s New York who is tasked with being the companion, the caretaker, the keeper, the wrangler, if you will, of legendary Welsh poet Dylan Thomas. And Dylan Thomas, if you know anything about Dylan Thomas. Kevin, you were an English major.
Oh,
you must
my
know
God.
Dylan Thomas, right?
Yeah.
Give me just a few examples of his work.
His iambic pentameter was really amazing and
but known for such poems as
Wow, the Grass is Green Here in Ireland.
Yes. Welsh poet Dylan Thomas often talked about how green the grass was in Ireland. You're right, Kevin. No, Under Milkwood, of course. Child's Christmas in Wales.
Well, those are the more well-known ones.
Right. Not as well-known as, wow,
right.
The grass is green here in Ireland.
Well said, Kevin.
Thank you.
Kevin only goes for the deep cuts.
That's right.
Dylan Thomas over...
Everybody knows the hits.
Right.
So what?
So Thomas was just a hellraiser, a drinker, a fighter, a womanizer, just a nightmare. And so Elijah Wood plays a young poet who takes on the task of keeping him in check and getting him on stage for one of his readings. And this is sort of like, remember My Favorite Year with Peter O'Toole, where the young comedy writer has to get him to the TV show on time? He plays like an Errol Flynn-type movie star. This is that kind of film, only much more serious and much more sort of grim. Here is some scenes from the trailer of Set Fire to the Stars.
I'm Dylan Thomas.
I'm a friend of John Malcolm Brennan. Him.
I can do this, Jack. I can get him ready for America.
I must warn you, I might break your heart.
How much trouble can one poet be?
Jesus, John. What have you done?
Why do you have to ruin it?
There's no secret, John. No holy grail. Just what's in front of all of us.
Now I'm looking forward to this film. This is not a movie Kevin would like to
at
see.
At all.
But Kevin, I might induce you with this little bonus. It's in black and white.
Oh,
so
that is better.
It's got that going for it.
It is better.
So does that entice you at all?
No.
Oh.
No, okay. There's no way I'll see that.
See You in My Dreams is another movie in limited release this weekend. Blythe Danner. One time a big-time actress herself, probably now best known as the mom of Gwyneth Paltrow. She stars in this film along with Martin Starr and Sam Elliott and Malin Ackerman. About a widow and a former singer who discovers life can begin new at any age. You know, life isn't over at a certain age. You can still reinvent yourself. They lied. Here's some scenes from the trailer of I See You in My Dreams.
What are your interests? I'm going to cut to the chase here, if that's okay. Sex is still very important to me. I mean, I don't have herpes, but it's okay with me if you do.
So that wasn't so bad.
You've had a great life, Mom. You had a great husband and a career in music.
It's all in the past tense. You're the best of what I have, you and Dad.
I want to have lunch with you. What's your name?
Yes.
Your name is Yes?
Carol.
Hey, actually, you still have any of that medical marijuana?
It's got to warm up.
Oh, she's an older woman who's got to smoke dope! That's crazy! This thing on?
It is.
Good Kill opens up this weekend in limited release. Ethan Hawke plays a drone pilot who begins to question the ethics of his job as it affects him and his family. January Jones stars as his lovely wife. Zoe Kravitz also in this film. Here's a scene where Ethan Hawke tells his wife, they used to be happy.
I used to make you happy. Only I can't be that person. If I'm not doing what I do, I am a pilot, and I'm not flying.
Tom.
I don't know what it is that I am doing, but it's not flying.
Pitch Perfect 2 this weekend.
There it is. There you go.
The Barton Bellas are back, boys. Woo!
We're back, pitches.
They're pitches.
Now, are you mocking Ralph, or did you find the first one utterly charming?
If by charming you mean unbearably hard to watch, then
so
yes.
So you liked it. Okay, good.
I'm guessing that's not what he meant, but okay.
Yeah, I was not a fan of the first film.
So you were on board with the first one, and you were excited about the second
one. No, what I'm trying to say is not a fan of the first film won't be caught dead in this one. But I know there's an audience for it. Bean, apparently, and other teenage girls enjoyed this film.
Bean will like the idea of going, but won't.
That's right. Pitch Perfect 2. And this time, the Bella Bartons have to enter an international competition that no American a cappella group has ever won before. Can I overstate this importance any more than I am? No Americans have won this before. What are the odds the Bella Bartons will be able to, or Barton Bellas will be able to win this competition?
100%?
No. I think we're all in for a big surprise. The interesting part about this film is that Anna Kendrick, of course, returns. Rebel Wilson, Haley Steinfeld, Brittany Snow. Elizabeth Banks is the director of this film. Actress Elizabeth Banks. Here's a scene from Pitch Perfect 2 where Adam Devine is flirting with Rebel Wilson, and he's got some big news for her.
I've got some pretty big news.
What?
I have been hand-plucked to be put on a waiting list, to be put on a very well-known TV singing competition.
Really?
Yep. I know what you're thinking.
Oh, Bumper.
Now shut your face and kiss me, Bumper.
No.
Bumper, please, just shut your...
That is not how I talk.
You talk exactly like this.
You're not.
Yes, you do.
I don't. So shut up.
You shut up.
Wow.
Okay, maybe not.
Enjoy, Bean.
The perfect clip. That may not be the best clip to bring it home. But
while Bean's sitting in the Pitch Perfect 2 crowd, the rest of us will be on Fury Road.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mad Max Fury Road. The architect of the original Mad Max films, George Miller, returns once again to revisit his creation, this time with Tom Hardy in the lead role, as opposed to Mel Gibson. It is a stark, post-apocalyptic desert landscape. Humanity is just destroyed. All there is remaining is to try to survive. Max and a woman named Furiosa, looking to make it back to her childhood homeland. Here is a scene where Furiosa, played by Charlize Theron, is explaining to Tom Hardy how she was taken away from her homeland as a child.
I was taken as a child. Stolen.
You've done this before?
Many times. Now that I drive a war rig, this is the best shot I'll ever have.
And them?
They're looking for hope.
What about you?
Redemption.
By all accounts, this movie is a festival of action, adventure, drama. Nothing but rave reviews from everyone who's seen it. Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron apparently steals the film. Nicholas Hoult also stars. Zoe Kravitz is in this movie. Just a blockbuster of mythic proportions that everyone seems to really enjoy. So that's the movie, seems to be for the weekend. Except for Bean, of course, who will be warming up his pitch pipe. And by that, I mean...
Yeah, we know.
I'm afraid what you might mean by that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman Movie Beat.
Another trip for two to Las Vegas, courtesy of Mad Max Desert Fury on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Also tickets to see the Galaxy.
Fury Road, either one.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's funny. It says here, Mad Max Desert Fury giveaway. Mm. That's great. I got to quit reading the paperwork. Also tickets to see the Galaxy take on the Houston Dynamo later on today. And, of course, another chance for you to win your way into the sold-out Kid Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015. We got pit tickets and backstage passes at 9 o'clock this morning. That's coming up on K-Rock.
Who is excited about another Three Stooges movie?
Did you see the first one?
No.
Really? Even with Sofia Vergara and Kate Upton in it?
Yeah.
That's four good reasons to see it right there.
Yeah, and I'm also told because I'm a male, I'm supposed to enjoy the Three Stooges, but I never really found it funny.
Allie, what are your thoughts on the Three Stooges?
One
of the most
successful
comedy groups of the 20th century.
I love the Three Stooges, the original Three Stooges.
Did you see the remake? Yeah. Didn't like
and?
It was so.
It was good for an audience that doesn't know the original Three Stooges.
Okay. Gotcha. So it was a pale imitation of a Xerox of a copy of the real thing.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Sean Hayes will be back, Will Sasso will be back, and Chris Diamantopoulos. Diamantopoulos. He's the backup quarterback for Tom Brady, isn't he? Is he the guy that plays for the Patriots?
Garoppolo. But
I'm sorry, I'm confused. It has been announced the Three Stooges are returning to the big screen in a new action comedy feature film. They will be reprising their roles as the Three Stooges. The first one made, by the way, $54 million worldwide, and I'm sure that's the impetus to make a new one. But, you know, we happen to have somebody on the inside of this phenomenon. Let's dial up the hotline to heaven, please. See if we can get our friends the Stooges on the line and find out what they think about them once again being aped up on the big screen.
Hello.
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 Spread out, you two.
Hello. Hiya, Larry and Mo and Curly. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're dead.
I wish I was alive.
Yeah, me too. Shut up, you two. I'll metalize you too. Shut up, he's trying to talk. You shut up. Oh, look at the grouse.
So, Mo, if you could leave your friends alone for just a minute, quit creating torture for them. Tell us what you think about the Three Stooges movie being made.
I can't believe they're trying to copy us. We're original, see?
Yeah, we're one of a kind.
Did you see the last remake?
I saw it. Shut up, he's talking to me, imbecile. Oh, you're killing me, Mo.
What did you think of the job those actors did portraying you guys?
I like the guy who played me. Shut up, you porcupine. Me, you.
Who said so?
Allie, any questions? You okay? Allie? Is she under the console? What's happening?
Are you going to see the new one? Are you excited about the news that there's another one?
I'm definitely going to see it. No, we're not, you idiot. Come here, Fatso. Oh, I got a medal on you. Hey, leave him alone. Why did you stay out of this?
Has the $2
Yeah, $2.
I'm frankly surprised that a Three Stooges movie would show in heaven, come to think of it.
We see everything up here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we go to the Arclight Heaven. My Larry Cheese.
Hey.
I just have you let the sound effects just
you
play.
You guys aren't very good at what you do, are you?
No, we're not.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Jim Gaffigan, who may be one of the only people I know who likes food more than beer mug, is going to be joining us right at the top of the hour. Talk about his new TV Land show. He's a funny guy. I like Jim a lot. That's on the way from K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday morning. Hey, Ralph, what's up?
Are you going to sue, Bean?
Am I going to sue?
Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan?
No, The Edge.
Oh, The Edge.
From you, too. He's taking your act. I mean, you, that's your act. And then there he is out doing it on the road.
That's
and
your act at great personal risk, I would add.
Right. You're like Evel Knievel.
Right.
And then there's some other guy comes along in a star-spangled jumpsuit, and now he's jumping buses on the motorcycle. I mean, shouldn't you get some respect for someone taking your routine?
Dude, there's a long history of people who have fallen off stages. I'm
but
just
no
glad.
One as spectacularly as you.
I'm just glad he's okay.
There's a lot of people who do one-liners, too, but there's only one Henny Youngman, right? You're the Henny Youngman of falling off a stage.
This was the first show of their tour in Vancouver.
And let's remember the tour that almost they had to postpone for months because somebody else in the band got injured. And then for him to get potentially injured on the first night, this it started to look cursed, I think.
For those of you aren't familiar with the story, The Edge fell off the stage, claiming that he did not see the edge of the stage. And we have that video, I believe, at krock.com if you want to check that out.
It's up on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page right now. But he's walking towards, he's looking up in the sky or something while he's playing guitar, and he's just not paying attention to where it is, and he just steps off of it and falls down. And, of course, the rest of the band keeps playing because they don't know what happened. And then they stop it and check him, and he's okay, apparently. But that you posted the photo, Kevin, of his bruises. That looks pretty bad.
Yeah, he's showing his arm, and he's holding a glass of champagne afterwards. He's like, I didn't.
And then Jed the Fish made fun of him, didn't he?
That was really weird.
That was weird. Jed Fish came out of nowhere, came on stage. He fell off the stage. Very weird. Anyway.
He fell off the stage.
Yeah. He's fine, apparently, and the band will play on. Although somewhere, maybe it's Coldplay. They've got some voodoo dolls of that band.
You think
right?
So? Yeah.
Yeah. There's like Chris Martin's got a little voodoo doll of Bono on top of a bicycle, and he throws it off the table, and then they take another one to the edge, and they knock him off the table. And there's some bad mojo going on with that band.
Hey, Larry's dad just died this week too. On top,
Larry
of
the
drummer.
Three Stooges.
That's no, Larry Mullen.
You should call them in heaven and see what Larry feels about his dad.
I would love to.
Away.
I feel like we would have nothing to say to them.
Yeah, I think they would feel the same way that you had nothing to say to them. In more showbiz news, congratulations to Danny Mathers. Danny Mathers, ladies and gentlemen, it's here for Danny Mathers.
He's the Beeve, right?
She's the Beeve, all right. Danny Mathers is this year's Playboy Playmate of the Year, 2015. This may come as a shock to you, but she is a busty blonde.
What?
Sister's got it going on.
She is an attractive 28-year-old young lady who is in the pages of Playboy. She'll be featured in the 2015 cover with a 10-page pictorial inside. Of course, most of us just read it for the articles, but
sure.
If you want to look at the pictures, they're there. You can say this about Heavy has a type.
Yeah, right.
I believe Hef still is involved with the choice of the Playmobil Plate of the Year. And this girl looks very Pam Anderson-esque, if you will. Busty, blonde, mouth a little bit too big for the face. That whole thing she's got going on there. And
we've been lucky.
It's true, Allie. Don't give me the stink eye.
Mouth a little too
big. Look her up.
For
Danny Mathers. D-A-N-I. Danny Mathers. Look her up. Mouth's just a little bit too big for the face. Kind of like Pam Anderson.
We've been lucky enough to be asked up to the Playboy Mansion several times.
We've been there for the luncheon.
For the luncheon, yeah. And everybody's dressed in formal wear, and then there are pictures of her that are 40 feet tall.
Giant, yes. Just like giant billboard-sized photographs of her naked.
You're getting food, and you're standing in front of a 15-foot vagina. Yeah. It's just weird.
You got to have the vajayjay.
Right.
Right? Who's with me?
Ralph, what year was Miss Mathers born? I'm just curious.
Well, I don't know. She's 28, so anybody good at math?
Wow, she's pretty old for Hef.
She's ancient.
Seriously. She's probably close to retirement.
Yeah. So congratulations, Danny.
Yeah!
Here's what Danny had to say. I've wanted this for so long. Like with any accomplishment, you work hard and hope it will pay off. But I can't believe it did. She said as she landed on the moon. I'm sorry, what did she do again?
She cured polio, I think. That wasn't her? Wow, her mouth is huge.
That's what I'm saying.
I just looked it up.
Absolutely
right. Come
on. You're totally right.
She's a Muppet.
I feel like
her head just opens. When she laughs, her head just opens up and just flips back. Her face is cut in half.
I feel like she has about 40 teeth.
Right? Who's with me?
Yeah. I'm with you.
Sounds like everyone is.
All right. Hey, you know who loved the Playboy Mansion? Bill Cosby.
Yes,
Bill Cosby
he did.
Loved the Playboy Mansion.
Yes, he did.
I don't think he goes up there much anymore. Turns out they have a new roofie policy at the mansion that he violated a few times, allegedly. Well, for the first time ever, to my knowledge, Cosby is addressing the allegations against him from over 40 women that he drugged and sexually assaulted them. On Good Morning America this morning, Cosby sat down for an interview that was about raising money for impoverished schools near Selma, Alabama. But the interviewer could not help but address these allegations. It's the elephant in the room, right?
Yeah.
So she was talking about the fact that you're raising this money, you're talking to inner city kids, you're trying to show them the way out through education. What do you do if they come up to you and they say you're a hypocrite? You're vouching for youth and doing all these positive things in education, but then there's all these allegations. What would you say about those allegations? And finally, I think in a very succinct, clear way, Mr. Cosby address the situation.
I have been in this business 52 years, and I've never seen anything like this. And reality is the situation. And I can't speak.
Well, there you go.
What?
What
does that mean?
Reality is the situation. What? Apparently he's working with the situation these days.
What does that mean?
Well, excluded from Ravioli Night.
I don't even understand what he was going for.
No one does.
I think it's very clear, you guys, that the reality is the situation.
The reality is the situation.
What the hell?
Say no more.
What does the future hold for Mr. Cosby? Well, he's got lots of irons in the fire.
I have a ton of ideas to put on television about people and their love for each other.
Yes.
What is happening?
What is happening?
He's got ideas, Allie, to put on television about people's love for each other.
Did he roofie himself before doing that interview?
He sounds drugged.
I have programs about loving people who do not necessarily want to be loved by you at the moment, but then you give them a cappuccino and you can love them.
Do you think he went off stage and asked his agent, how did I do?
Crushed it! Reality is the situation.
Wow.
And fantasy is the snooki.
Well, I'm glad he cleared that up for us.
Me too. Finally, we can put it to rest,
that
I think.
That is great.
We said the final word about that.
I'd swipe, right?
Yep.
Nope. Would not.
Allie, can I give you just a cup of punch to quench your thirsty for the throat?
I want nothing from you in my throat. Thank you, sir.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Need that.
Actor Chaz Palminteri celebrates his 69th birthday.
What's he best known for, do you think, Ralph?
Bronx Tale, I'm guessing. His one-man show that was turned into a very successful feature film, but he's also been in a ton of movies.
Yeah. He's a guy who's
playing a mobster.
Everyone would recognize his face, even if they don't know his name.
Absolutely. Actor David Krumholtz is 37 years old. I guess best known from Numbers, I guess.
Numbers, yeah.
From the series Numbers. Although, didn't Beer Mug interview him once and ask him about a movie he did, like, in the late 30s or something? And David Krumholtz was like, you know, I've had a career over the past 15 years other than that. It was some obscure film that Beer Mug liked that he was in.
That's correct.
We'll have to try to dig up that interview. Jamie Lynn Sigler from The Sopranos is 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Last year, we had our friend Jim Gaffigan in talking about his latest comedy special called Obsessed. Jim is back on the phone. The Contagious Tour is coming to the Greek Theater on Saturday, July 25th. Tickets on sale now through jimgaffigan.com. And he's got a new show getting ready to debut on TV Land, of all places. Jim, were you in the Golden Girls or something? Why don't I remember you on TV Land before?
I was actually Andy Griffith in the Andy Griffith Show.
I didn't realize that.
I see. How about that? Wow. Well, yeah, welcome back, sir. How you been? You okay?
I'm good. I haven't eaten anything in an hour, so I'm a little hypoglycemic. But,
I am. Should we? Do you want to grab something?
No. I'm
okay. All right.
Hey, do you have any food sponsorships of your tour as a result of how much you eat and how famous you are for eating? I mean, like, have you been able to cash in and get some free grub out of that, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the benefits. I'm sure it's, you know, models probably get sent clothes, but I will get sent food.
You win.
You know? And, you know, the irony is a couple of years ago, people used to say, you talk about food and eating like a morbidly obese person, and now people just say, you talk about food.
I will tell you that I did think, it did cross my mind, because you can't think Gaffigan without thinking food. When I watched your show yesterday up at jimgaffigan.com, I thought, as many do, he should be so much fatter than he is. I mean, you really do look healthier than most people walking around on the street today. Like, how do you do it? Because you don't strike me as a big exercise dude.
Well, you know, I'm not a normal human. I'm part polar bear.
Oh,
that's very nice of you to say that, but I have, even in shooting this show, I feel like I've gained 10 pounds because we've done so many scenes where I'm just consuming pastrami or pizza or cake, and it's kind of fun the first couple takes, but around the 20th take, I literally swear off of a food item. And then I'll eat it the next week. So you saw the episode that's on my website?
Oh, we all watched it. Yeah. We all watched it, Jim. It's very funny. Very funny.
Oh, thanks so much. Because, you know, Jeannie and I, my wife, we wrote all these episodes. And, you know, I'm grateful to have this. We're grateful to have this opportunity to be on TV Land. But, you know, I think, you know, I understand it's just we wanted an opportunity to, you know, people to sample the show because we can talk about what a show is like. And we've all had friends that have been really funny comedians. And then they do a show and networks and studios get involved. And, you know, Jeannie and I had an opportunity to really do something different here at TV Land. And so I asked them, I said, let me just put it up on my website so that people can see what the show we're doing rather than us telling them that it's not going to be garbage. We want people to go to my website and watch an episode commercial free. They can just stream it and they can decide themselves. I mean, the internet's been very good to me. We posted it 2 days ago and, already 500,000 people have gone to, my website. So it's working.
It's jimgaffigan.com, and it's going to air on TV Land in mid-July, and then are they going to replay it on Comedy Central?
Yeah, that's some of how it was kind of constructed, just because, you know, TV Land is great, but, you know, my ego is kind of constructed around I want to do a good show, but I also want to make sure as many people see it. And,
of course.
You know, there's probably more people on Comedy Central that know my stuff than people on TV Land. So when the idea was presented of putting both on TV Land and then re-airing it within the week on Comedy Central, I was like, that's great, you know.
No kidding.
Totally into it.
Let's talk about the show a little bit. I mean, I don't know where you get your crazy ideas. I mean, comedians, you know, I can't even understand how their brain works, but you play a comedian who's happily married with five children at home, and you do, you know, stand-up comedy, and you eat a lot, and it's just, like, it's so crazy and so out there from your regular life, Jim, that I just wonder where you got the inspiration.
It's, you know, it's really kind of, I'm really going out of myself playing this character named Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
And... you know, to prepare for the role of this guy who has five kids, I had five kids.
So wow, that's commitment.
I changed my name early on, hoping that I would be able to be cast in this role. But, no, it's you know, the weird thing is it's very autobiographical, but I don't, you know, Jeannie and I, we watch all the dramas. We don't really watch comedies. I mean, I grew up watching them, but so we're definitely consumed with making the show as interesting and as compelling as you know, some of the dramas that are on television right now.
Gotcha. Look, you're one of the most loved comedians in the business, and I know that you got, you know, so many friends, and it's so awesome that Chris Rock was able to be in this thing with you, Jon Stewart was able, and I'm sure in future episodes you're going to be bringing more of your comedy pals by too, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what's also pretty cool about the autobiographical thing. It's like Dave Attell plays Dave Attell, and John Mulaney plays John Mulaney, and adding, you know, working from, you know, what my real life is like, and then just making it, you know, kind of interesting. Like, we're shooting an episode right now where, you know, there's some jealousy of the success of Mulaney, and then in another episode there's, you know, a birthday party where there's, you know, Eddie Pepitone and James and Damien, you know, it's like there's tons of cameos for comedians to be who they are, which are just brilliant, you know.
That's cool. Well, listen, let's play a clip from the show before we say goodbye. We're talking to Jim Gaffigan. JimGaffigan.com is where you can stream the first episode of his TV Land show. It's very, very funny. You know, we mentioned some of the stars. Adam Goldberg is also on this, Michael Ian Black. And this is a scene that you're doing with Adam Goldberg from the pilot where you have just turned down a huge offer to endorse a pizza. And you passed on it because they support anti-gay causes. And here you are talking to Adam Goldberg about it.
I just told the guy no.
You turned down $1 million?
Yeah.
$1 million?
Yeah.
I'll do it for $1 million. I'd do it for $50 in one of their awful pizzas.
But I'd be associated with being anti-gay.
I don't hate gays. I just like money more. You know, for $1 million, I'd make sweet love to Neil Patrick Harris. I'd do Ed Harris for that much.
JimGaffigan.com is where you can see and get all the details about the TV Land show. And don't forget, you can also buy tickets for the Contagious Tour, which is coming to the Greek Theater on July 25th. Tickets are on sale now. Jim, very funny. Congratulations on the show, man. Always good to catch up with you.
Thanks so much, you guys. I really appreciate you letting me call in.
You bet.
Anyway, congratulations to Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Yeah, sure. What?
They're inducted in the Rock and Hall of Fame.
Oh.
And that's going to be on HBO. I don't get HBO, so I'm going to miss it.
You're not going to see it?
So all you people with HBO get to see Paul McCartney and Green Day and Ringo and getting Joan Jett inducted in the Rock and Hall of Fame.
Right.
Anyway, here's from her last album she put out, Unvarnished.
We don't have actually time to play.
TMI. Joan Jett and the Black Hearts.
I'm sorry, Rodney. We're not going to have time to do that for you right now.
It was a good setup, though. I felt like we needed to follow that up with the song, but no.
Hey, look, hear my whole thing. I'm going to contest to you, Kevin, that the bigger decision than a couple deciding to get married is the decision of a couple deciding to live together. Now, when you get married, you're taking on both. You're taking on the commitment of the, you know, the paper and the ceremony and the living together. And when you move in together, you're just taking on the living together. But the living together is the harder part than the getting married part. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yes, of course.
Living together is what makes or breaks a relationship, what determines whether it's you're in it for the long haul or not. And I don't think we've ever done this phone topic, but I think it's time to discuss with our listeners and maybe some of our staff about how maybe not everyone should live together.
Well, and here's the other thing about that. The longer you're together without living together.
Yeah, the harder it is.
The harder it is. And then a lot of times, let's say you're together for 5, 7, 8 years.
Especially eight.
Maybe eight. Then you move in.
Yeah.
Things can go south really quickly.
And I love, I don't love it. I'm sad to see, you know, people in some cases break up because they move together. But it is fascinating to me that you can be so confident that this relationship is going to work that you decide to move in together. Somebody actually gives up his or her house so that you can bring your fortunes together and share a residence. And then a week later, maybe, maybe 2 days later, you're out on your ass. It's over. I mean, that's amazing to me. You can put so many years into building up a relationship, and in some cases it ends because you try to live together. It's so fascinating to me.
Yeah, moving in ruined your relationship. That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. We don't know anyone personally that this has affected.
Certainly not.
But we've heard that this can happen.
We have heard stories from people that sometimes even relationships that seem solid can be tested by trying to live within the same four walls.
Right.
Now, Kevin, I know your story. You know mine. I don't think we know about Allie's situation. Have you ever lived with a boy?
I have.
And was the living together part difficult?
For me, yes.
It was.
Yeah.
Because you were used to living on your own?
I like my space.
Mm-hmm.
I like my whole bed. Sometimes if I want to sleep sideways, I want to sleep sideways.
Oh, you're crazy that
yes!
way.
But I like to sleep with it cold. He thought it was like hanging meat in the room. Mm-hmm. There, a lot of things went wrong.
Are you sure that's what he said about meat in the room?
You're right.
Yeah.
No.
And by the way, Allie, you bring up a fantastic point where even if you are young and in love and you think you're having a conversation that is going to get out in front of some of those problems, there are some things that you just can't possibly encounter until that first night that the lights go off and the window gets open. That's not something that ever comes up that you ever discuss about. It's just you're used to living the way you live. He's used to living the way he lives. And sometimes that's not a good fit.
And you think because they spend the night all the time or you're over at their place all the time, oh, it's just going to be a continuation of that.
It'll be the same.
It is so different.
It is so different.
So horrible. And oh my God, I'll be alone forever.
There is something to be said.
And by the way, we're only talking about Allie now. Not about anyone else.
Not about anybody else who may or may not work on the show. Exactly.
There's nobody else that we know of.
Nobody else related to this conversation. You're absolutely right, Allie. And I think that there is and maybe this is the difference between just dating versus being married, is there's no way out. When you're just staying over at your boyfriend's house, you know that you have a backup plan.
Yes.
You know that you have somewhere else to go if you guys get in a fight and you don't feel like being over there tonight. You can go back to your place. Once you've given up that key and moved in, now you're stuck.
Ugh,
now you're stuck.
I mean, we've heard.
We're kind of making it sound like no one should ever live together. That's not the case. Obviously, most people do end up living with other people and it ends up being fine. But there are some instances where maybe it's the death knell of the relationship.
And that's none that we know of, though.
That's that's the pain that we want to focus on at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Eric real quick, just to kind of get us started here on line two. He's calling us from Los Angeles. Yeah, Eric, thanks a lot for calling the Kevin Bean Show. You understand the pain that we're talking about here.
Yeah, yes, I do. I actually moved in with my girlfriend before we got married.
Okay.
All right. First of all, how long had you guys been dating when you decided to move in together?
We were dating over 3 years, like 3 years and 8 months total.
All right.
So, okay.
All right. Almost 3 years, and you guys thought you knew each other pretty well at that point, I imagine.
Yes, we did.
And what went wrong, sir?
The possessiveness. You know, before, when I used to get home, I'd just tell her I got home late. It was fine. We talked over the phone. But when you get home to her late, it's different. The nagging is there right in front of you. She's reminding you, constantly reminding you. And it's like, why do I have to come home? My home has to be a peace of mind. Why do I come home and it's nagging? It's stressful. So it keeps you away from home. And it got bad. Went downhill.
So do you think if you guys had not moved in together, you would have stayed together? You would have ended up dating a lot longer than you did or what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot longer. It's rare when we do keep in contact. We're such great friends. And I told her straight up, straight forth how it was.
Right.
She respected that. But to be together, we just found out it wasn't going to happen.
Got it. All right. Thank you very much for the call, Eric. I appreciate that. And, you know, sometimes you get with a woman who wants to drink your chocolate milk, and that's where it goes down, man.
Is
right?
Is that a euphemism or what?
I know.
No, it's not
happening?
At all.
It's Bean talking about – remember the story where Bean hides chocolate milk so that no one in the house drinks it?
I'm just saying. Remember that? There are some things that are sacred. That's all I'm saying. Huh. All right. You guys were doing great, and then you decided to move in together. It has never happened to anyone we know who works on the show. But if it has happened to you, we want to hear about it at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
We're asking for calls because we don't know anybody who this has affected personally.
That's the point. Mm-hmm. That's the point. There's nobody close to us who's been through this where you date a guy or a girl for 8 years, then move in, and the next thing you know, you're completely broken up.
Or 7 or 6 or 9 years.
Whatever, eight. Whatever the random number eight. Is. It's, right. Obviously, it's fictional, so we don't know. So 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Edgar. He's on line 6 in Los Angeles. This is exactly what we're talking about when we say you don't know somebody until you try to live with them. Edgar, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Good, thank you.
Great. So what happened? What's the story here?
All right, so Junior and I met this girl, you know, found her really beautiful. We ended up dating for about 11 years. I had my own apartment, like, right after high school, you know, all of high school we were together, like even college we were together. I ended up getting my first apartment together, so I'm living by myself for about a few years, and then I was like, you know what, like we're both adults now, like it's probably about time we take that next step.
All right, how old are you at this point?
I'm 30 right now.
No, how old are you at the time you guys moved in together?
I was 23, 24 actually. When I
24 years old, and you've been dating since you were 13?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a commitment, all right?
Yeah, so it was definitely a commitment. And so, like, you know, everything was great. The relationship was great. And then, so I ended up getting my first apartment. I lived by myself for about a few years. And then I asked him, you know what, it's probably best that we just take the next step together. This is going to be like at that point, I saw it as, like, we were going to be together for the rest of our life type of thing. So did she, you know? So I told her, like, well, let's move in. So we moved in together. And within 3 months, after the second month, we completely shut down. We stopped talking to each other. Oh, and after 3 months, she ended up breaking up with me.
11 years, 3 months.
What went wrong exactly?
You know what? I don't know, but this is the funny part. So we ended up splitting up, and I ended up coming. And then we both left the apartment. Like, we're like, I ended up breaking contract for the lease. I'm like, you know what? I can't pay for the apartment by myself. And so she left, like, within 2.5 months, like, she bailed. And then so I was like, you know what? To the landlord, I was like, I got to break the lease. I got to bail, too. So I bounced. I come to find out, like, a month after that she had moved in with some other guy, and that's what happened, apparently.
Moved in with another dude into your apartment?
No.
She moved in with some other guy at his apartment.
Oh, I got you. All right.
Yeah, dude. After 3.5 months, so, like, obviously, you know, that went down. So 11 years, 3 months was, like, the turnaround rate on that.
Yeah. That is something else. All right,
Edgar. That went south so fast!
Right? It certainly did. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Wow. All right, let's talk to Natalie. Let's get a lady's perspective on this, because we've not heard from one. Natalie, thank you so much for calling. How are you today?
Good morning, you guys. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Well, we're fine, but we're hearing about some heartbreak today. We're hearing about people who date for a long, long time and everything is going great. They might still be together today if they hadn't tried to live together. Was that your experience too?
Yeah, pretty much. So me and this guy got engaged, and then a year later we moved in together.
All right, how long were you together at the point you moved in, including dating?
A year.
Okay.
All right,
so moving pretty fast, okay.
Yeah. And, well, in that year, like, everything was great. We never argued, and we hung out together, like, all the time. The only thing I didn't do was sleep at his house.
Right.
But when we moved in, everything just changed. Like, I hated his choice in bed sheets. That was my biggest turnoff. It was just, like, a disaster.
No, that's super important. You're making the right call on that one. You got to draw a line in the sand.
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
He's with you. You made the right decision. Yeah. All right. So okay. Like little things that wouldn't have bothered you if you had your own place to go back to, all of a sudden you go, oh, my God, I'm trapped. This is my life.
Yeah, well, and then we had different schedules. So I would come home late from school and work or whatever, and, like, he's dead asleep. He has to get up at 4. And I want to just sit and watch, you know, TV and, like, eat. And he just comes out the room screaming, like, shut up, I'm trying to sleep. And I'm just like, what am I supposed to do? Like, sit outside? So it's just like a whole bunch of like little things like that. And I ended up like moving out and moving back with my parents and slowly like kind of moving my stuff out until like the loop was over and we haven't moved back in. But we're together still.
You're still together.
Okay. All right. So you might be able to salvage this then.
No, I don't think we could ever live together. And I've offered him to, like, hey, look, we could get married, but I got to have my own place.
There you go. That's the way you want to start a marriage, right there.
I support that
as well.
Totally support it.
Natalie, thank you for the call. You sound delightful, and I don't think your voice would ever get annoying. All right, let's go to...
Wow. He's a dick.
No, I was just giving her a compliment. Right. Let's go to Barbara. She's in Burbank. She's on line one. She's going to add to this conversation.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi. Okay, so this isn't me. It was my dad. This is 40-some-odd years ago in Argentina. You either live with your parents or you live with your husband or wife once you get married.
So there's no living by yourself single.
Exactly. Okay. So he dated this chick for 7 years. They get married. They move in together. They lasted 3 months.
Boy, we hear a lot of stories like that.
None from people that we know.
None from anyone who works on the show, right?
Right.
So I guess the thing was, like, you know, when they were just dating or engaged or whatever, she was always, you know, dressed up and looking nice. And then he would come home and she was in a robe with curlers in her hair. And, like, he couldn't step on the floor because she had just cleaned it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff gets hidden in relationships. When you're just dating, you don't see all of the day-to-day stuff. You don't see what goes into that person. So that makes a lot of sense.
That is what we would guess.
Yep.
Right, exactly, because we wouldn't know. Thank you so much for the call, Barbara. We really appreciate that. All right, let's go to Mark in El Segundo. He's up next. He's on line five.
All right. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good. This happened to you?
So, yeah, this one's kind of weird. I had a platonic best friend since I was about 15, and then we actually got together, started dating at 25. And probably about 2 years we dated while she was actually living with her mom.
Okay.
Finally said, hey, go ahead and move in. She'd already been essentially living with me, sleeping at my house all the time. She didn't want to be at her mom's house. But, man, after she moved in, it all changed. I didn't want to come home from work. I would stay out late. She would stay out with the friends. And neither one of us even wanted to see each other. Could never sleep in the same bed. She would snore. I would snore. It was just, like, impossible. It got so bad. Like, unfortunately, 3 years into it, I just came home on Friday. She just disappeared. All of her stuff.
Wow.
Whoa.
No,
that took some planning. If everything was gone already.
In 8 hours. 8 hours. I stole a couch, took all her clothes.
Sweet.
Took my car.
Dude.
I think you're leaving some stuff out.
There's got to be more to this story.
Serious.
I think you got robbed is what happened.
No. I'd given it to her. But, yeah, she just she disappeared. Then it gets better. She called back 5 weeks later and was like, oh, I miss you. Let's try dating again. But she'd already gotten and gone her own apartment. And then we tried dating again. After that, it just never worked with Santa. Let it go after 6 months.
Yeah.
So what's your takeaway? What did we learn from this experience with this young lady, Mark?
Well, I definitely know what I was responsible for, and I think it's, you know, you have to be able to see eye to eye with someone, but you always have to be, you have to communicate. You have to communicate, and you got to be honest about what you want and what it is that you expect, and those people have to do it.
And to add to what Natalie said, if you're going to get married, make sure you keep separate residences. That's the takeaway today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for the call, dude.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you next hour. And at 9 o'clock, give you a chance to win some tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015, which, by the way, is tomorrow. You can go to KROQ.com right now if you are going to the show or plan on tuning into the webcast to get all the information about which bands are playing when. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Speaking of giving stuff away, let's not gloss over the fact that in about 10 minutes, we're going to be giving away a trip to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yay!
Thanks to the good people at Mad Max Fury Road, which, of course, opens the theaters everywhere today. But we've been giving away a trip a day, and we're going to play a little game. A little game. In a couple minutes to try to win that trip. This may be my favorite one.
Is that right?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Let's take a look at the show business news. Sad news as a blues legend B.B. King has passed away. Died last night at the age of 89. He was in hospice care in Las Vegas. You know, B.B. had diabetes, famously. He even did commercials for testing supplies. And he had been pretty sick. His daughter said that her father may have had a minor heart attack back in 2004. We had to cancel some dates. But regardless, he was in failing health and last night apparently passed away at the age of 89. Although you have to admit, if you look back over his life, wow, time well spent. 40 albums to his credit. 15 times he won a Grammy Award. He's in the Blues Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. His work with his legendary guitar, Lucille, will stand the test of time. Here's a little track from B.B. King, probably his best known song, the biggest hit, a song called The Thrill Is Gone.
Thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away.
That's some bone music right there.
That makes, bone.
That makes you bone. That's boning music.
Oh, okay. All right.
Here, Kevin, let me give it.
I get that.
Like
no,
this.
I was
picturing... When a man loves a woman, Kevin.
I understand how that works. I was picturing myself sitting at a bar sobbing and drinking a lot of beer.
Which leads to boning.
Okay, all right.
Because you look down the end of the bar, there's another girl. The girl is also sobbing in her beer, and you're like, wow, you've been done dirty. Yeah, you too? Yeah. Let's bone!
I like the ending of that story. That's good.
It's a good story. He has survived by his 11 children.
What?
Speaking of boning.
His 11 surviving children, by the way, Ralph, of 15.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he had a pretty prolific love life, apparently.
Patrick Dempsey's exit from Grey's Anatomy didn't smell right to me. Stunk to high heaven. I was like, that's odd. Why would you take one of the most popular characters on your TV show and just axe him? Something's up. Ha-ha! Well, Dr. Drew, I was right.
Tell it.
Stories now coming out behind the scenes, what was going on at the ABC drama, which led to Patrick Dempsey's exit. Reportedly, he had a very messy and very emotional and very out there for everyone to see affair with a much younger staff member of the ABC drama.
Oh. Which, someone on camera?
Does not say. The person interviewed in this article does not identify where that person came from. By saying it's from the Grey's Anatomy staff, I'm assuming not on camera. Okay. I'm guessing writer or someone on the crew. It was a nightmare for all involved in shooting that show. This reportedly started last August. Sources say that Patrick would remain in his trailer hooking up with her on set and refuse to come out.
He's making the right choice there.
This affair also explained his sudden divorce from his wife of 15 years back in January. And at the same time, Patrick was allegedly complaining about his storylines on the show. Now, showrunner and creator Shonda Rhimes is said to have suspended Dempsey while the female staffer was moved off the set to work in another production office. And so he was missing from the show for a long time, long absence on the show, before they brought him back and then killed his character off in a car accident.
Oh, interesting.
If any of us watched Grey's Anatomy, we might have known some of this was going on.
I have no idea what's happening here, but it's a juicy story.
It is juicy.
It's juicy. It's funky and juicy.
It is funky and juicy.
By the way, you can only be a pain in the ass for so long on a TV set, right?
Yep.
Or a radio show.
Right.
Are we all looking at the girl?
Nope.
Nope. We're looking north. We're all looking up north. We all got our...
What am I doing?
Thanks, Fiend. I appreciate that you went right for me.
I just assumed it was Alex.
Of course he did.
Of course
he did.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Interesting.
How he immediately looked for someone else.
How that works.
Yeah. When the telescope's on the island.
Yep.
He doesn't even know.
What did I do? I'm not voting any staffers or not coming out of my trailer or complaining about my storylines. I'm not doing any of those things.
You
come
do
on.
Plenty.
You do,
team
do,
player.
You do plenty. Do. And Johnny Depp's dogs are going to be murdered. So there's that.
That's a weird headline.
Yeah, he took his two Yorkshire Terriers, Pistol and Boo, with him down to Australia to film the fifth installment of the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Now, reportedly, he came in on a private jet and, according to government sources in Australia, smuggled the dogs into the country in his Louis Vuitton bag. Oh, that dirty smuggler, Johnny Depp.
He's an outlaw.
Well, Australia frowns on bringing your pets into the country because they carry such diseases as rabies and Ehrlichia and Leishmania and leptospirosis.
Have we checked those to make sure there's something?
These are all things.
All right.
Now, if Johnny Depp doesn't get them out of the country, the dogs will be killed in 72 hours, says the government. This is like a Taken. This is like Taken 4
with wow.
Liam Neeson. They're going to be put down. Here's an online petition. Over 6,500 people have already signed to save Johnny Depp's dog, entitled, "It's Almost Time to Kill Johnny Depp's Dogs." The countdown is on. Will Pistol and Boo die? Australia's Minister of Agriculture, Barnaby Joyce, says, I don't hate Johnny Depp's dogs.
I'm sorry, what did he say?
Yeah,
and how?
I don't think he said it like that.
I don't hate Johnny Depp's dogs. But I dislike the way that someone comes into our nation and doesn't go through the proper process. And basically, you're standing away from the law of this nation.
Why was he didgeridooing?
Because that's what they do
there. That is what they do, that's true.
What they didgeridoo.
Word is Johnny's going to fly his dogs out of the country sometime tonight on private jets, so they will be saved from the gallows. Because that's how they do it. They hang them.
I was not aware of that either.
Australia's a weird
country.
That's
a crazy country. Yeah.
Tie me kangaroo down, Jack.
Look, I love dogs more than the next guy.
Yep.
No one gets it. No one understands that reference.
Right.
It's from 1960 effing 3, LA. That's why we didn't mention it. But my point here is, as much as I love dogs, the Australian government is completely within their authority to ask that your dogs be looked at before they're brought into the country.
And to murder your dogs. They're completely within their rights to do
that, right? That's a strange extra step, though. To say
we're putting them down. Right?
Yes,
it's a frontier world down there, Kevin. You don't know. It's a raw world. I saw a guy driving like a big tractor trailer, kind of tank looking thing.
A movie.
Girl with a shaved head, and they're firing people. And there's a guy with like painted faces.
That's
and
not the
trying
news,
to
Ralph.
Kill each other for gasoline and water. It looks like hell down there in Australia.
That's Mad Max.
I do not want to visit that part of the world. It looks
Australia
brutal
is
and
a modern 21st century country.
Shooting each other. No cars. Are flipping over and people with large
just
pikes
movie.
Are stabbing people in the front of trucks.
That's
madness out down there.
So
I'm surprised any dogs are still alive. They probably kill them and eat them down there.
You're very confused, Ralph.
Today's celebrity birthday is Chaz Palminteri, 69 years old today. David Krumholtz celebrates his 37th birthday. And Jamie Lynn Sigler, you know her as Meadow Soprano of the legendary TV show The Sopranos, 34 years old. She's grown up in front of our eyes.
Yes.
She was little Meadow. She was, I don't know, 15, 16 years old when that show started. Mm-hmm. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. We'll play for that trip to Las Vegas next.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm thinking about becoming a professional hummer.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Friday morning. How about Mad Max Fury Road, you guys?
Oh, so good.
What time are you seeing that today, Kevin?
Noon.
Yeah, that's what I figured. In theaters today, finally, we've been waiting for this for a long time. The great Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron, Nicholas Hoult, and so much more. Great reviews. Film is opening up this weekend. Go see it. They are kind enough to provide for us a trip or two to Las Vegas, Nevada, including round-trip airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash. Ralph, what are we doing this time?
Well, you know, all week long, we've had these trips to give away, and so we've tried to devise a contest each and every day to give away the trips. And we have pretty much picked the carcass clean of the title of Mad Max Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
We did a contest about being mad.
Correct.
We did a contest about famous Maxes.
That's correct. Right.
We did a contest about famous roads.
Check. Covered. Yep.
Only one piece of meat left on the bone. Furies. So it's time to play Furious.
You understand they have a trip to Vegas. All you have to do is play and be furious. You'll go to the town where Kevin's all party bus. Come on and try your luck. It's time to play Furious.
Yeah! Let's get furious!
So how's the game work?
It's very simple. It's very simple, Bean. Just relax. Take a breath. I'm here for you.
I'm ready.
I'm going to ask you a trivia question. The answer will contain the word fury.
Wow.
The answer may just be the word fury.
Okay.
But it certainly will contain the word fury.
Okay.
If it's more than one word, that word being fury.
So these are famous furies.
Yes.
Okay.
So the answer will contain the word fury.
I think we've established that.
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right, Kevin, you got the phones. Who's up first?
Are you a Muse fan by any chance?
A Muse fan? Of course.
The band Muse?
Yes.
The first question has an audio clue, so you're going to listen carefully. This is a Muse song that was a bonus cut from the Japanese version of the Absolution album. It was the B-side to the Sing for Absolution single. Matt Bellamy wanted to have it on the album, but got voted down by the other guys in the band. Here is a song by Muse. I'm going to play a little piece of it, and then I'm going to ask for the title. Here's the song.
There's no God
Do you happen to know the name of that Muse song?
Fury?
Fury is the name of that song. That's correct.
Nicely done.
Well done, Jennifer. You're in the drawing.
All right.
That's a great guess if you don't know, by the way.
Let's go to Jerome in Huntington Beach. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Jerome. This another audio clue for you. This 2014 war film starred Brad Pitt and Shia LaBeouf in a U.S. tank crew behind the lines in Nazi Germany.
Sergeant Collier, I'm your new assistant driver. I've never even seen the inside of a tank.
You will. I started this war killing Germans in Africa. Now I'm killing Germans in Germany. Been with these fine gentlemen for years.
We almost played the whole movie for you there.
Yep.
What's the name of that movie?
I think it's Fury.
Fury! How did you get
it's
that?
It's Fury! I'm furious!
Are you sure this game isn't called The Answer is Fury,
nope.
Ralph?
It's okay. Called Furious.
Oh, so furious.
Let's go to Ozzy in Torrance. Hi, Ozzy.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Hi, Ozzy. This comic book character appears in Marvel Comics and has been portrayed on television and in movies by such actors as David Hasselhoff and Samuel L. Jackson.
Nick Fury.
Nick Fury!
Nicely done.
That's correct.
All right, 3 for 3, you guys. Very impressive.
These people are furious. They're furious.
Furious.
Furious would be the cue to play the Furious song.
All right.
Furious.
Oh, so furious.
There we go.
Let's go to Hugo in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hugo.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good, thank Hugo. You. This 2007 ping pong comedy stars Dan Fogler and Christopher Walken. Here's a little clip for you.
Really, Coulson? 6 days? It only took you 6 days to take a completely renovated piece of...
How about
that's
that?
Nick Fury. Never mind. We don't need that
Who knew we had a clue for that one?
I didn't, apparently. Okay. There was no I asked for it. I forgot that I had it.
Here's the clip.
Dragon says, this serve, no can defend. No one has hit it back in 5 years of table tennis. She say, no fair. She wasn't ready.
Wasn't ready.
That was a strong movie right there.
What is Balls of Fury?
Balls of Fury is
not
Balls
a Jeopardy, but okay.
Thanks for putting in the form of the question.
All right.
4 for 4.
Very impressive.
These people are furious.
They sure are.
Oh, so furious.
Yeah.
Let's go to Diego.
Yeah.
Diego. I've got an audio clue for you as well, but here is your question. In the classic 1983 horror movie Christine, directed by John Carpenter, of course based on the book by Stephen King, it's about a possessed, violent automobile named Christine and the effects that it has on its teenage owner. What make and model car is Christine? Here's your audio clue.
Ever since he bought that car, he's been obsessed with it. And you know what else? They told us... The man who owned that car last died in it.
Boom.
Ah! Ah! What make and model was Christine in the movie, sir?
It was 1985 Plymouth Fury.
Boy, that's so close.
I mean, really, it's
we,
so
don't need, we don't need we don't need the year. We'll take Plymouth Fury.
Why not?
I asked for make and model. That's a Plymouth Fury. You're right. You're in the drawing. 1985 Plymouth Fury. It was made in 1983, the movie.
Maybe he's dyslexic. He meant to say 58.
Maybe he did.
Let's do one more contestant.
All right. This is Ann in Huntington Beach. Hi, Ann.
Good morning.
Ann, how have you been doing so far with these Furious questions?
They seem pretty simple, so okay. I'm hoping to win this trip. I'm so excited.
All right.
Good luck.
Here's your question. This classic 1972 Kung Fu movie was released here in the States as The Chinese Connection. It starred Bruce Lee in his second major kung fu movie role after The Big Boss. But I need to know what the actual title of the film is. To give you a little extra help, here is a classic clip from this 1972 kung fu movie.
That's a very helpful clue.
That gives you a lot of help.
That's good.
What's the movie called?
Fury.
No.
Well, I mean, it's a good guess.
Good guess. It's actually known as Fist of Fury. I'm Fist of Fury. I will kill you with my kung fu.
And sorry, thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
You didn't make it
so
in.
You are not in the drawing, but Jennifer is still, along with Jerome, also Ozzy, Hugo, and Diego. One will win a trip for two to Las Vegas, Nevada. We're talking about airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash courtesy of Mad Max Fury Road in theaters everywhere today. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
Now Jerome.
Jerome.
Jerome. Congratulations, Jerome.
Thank you so much.
Trip to Vegas.
Trip to Las Vegas. Thanks for playing.
Oh, so furious.
Today is your last day to win tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2015. Why is that, by the way? I think that's unfair that we're stopping giving away the tickets.
Because it's tomorrow, Bean.
Oh, that's right. It certainly is at Irvine Meadows. It's going to be a great, great day. If you're going to the show or not and you just want to follow along, play the home game, you can go to K-Rock.com, get all the details about which bands are playing when. And, of course, we'll be streaming the thing for tomorrow only. You can watch the thing. It won't exist after that. So if you want to see the show and you're not there, go to K-Rock.com, get all the details about how you can see it. Hey, it's Friday morning. Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world. It is time for the Internet Roundup. So tell all the boys and girls. We've got funny and sexy, even music, too. We've got all the greatest videos, and they're mostly on YouTube. Click your mouse in the air like you don't care. You could watch these videos all up in your underwear. Internet.
Fun batch at KRock.com or KevinBean.com. More than we have time to even bring you on the radio. One of my favorites was somebody edited together the Transformers in every movie ever, which is so funny to see the Transformers just pop up in other films. But check that one out. It's more of a visual. Here's a great one that you got to see, though. Aunt Lulu is celebrating her birthday. She's around the table blowing out the candles on her cake with her family. Kevin, she is 102 years old.
Ask me how many times I watch this.
More Zero. Than once?
North of 20.
Oh. It's pretty sweet, right?
It's awesome.
Kevin wouldn't watch it.
Why? I did too, because it's an old
you
person.
Hate, yeah, old people.
You hate old people.
But if you put an old people video in there, I know it's funny.
So she's, having a great time, and she looks amazing for 102 years old. I swear to God, she looks like she's around 75. So she goes to blow out the candles on her cake, and her teeth come out with them. As she's blowing out the candles, her teeth fly out of her mouth onto the table, and everybody cracks up. It's so funny.
Blow it out.
What an annoying family that is.
But that's why Aunt Lulu rocks, because she laughs along with everyone else.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of hard sounds to listen to, you know that the my least favorite sound in the world is the sound of children laughing, obviously. That's a horrible sound that makes everyone sad. This is close. You're going to hear a four-year-old throwing a temper tantrum over what was probably an imaginary scratch on her leg. But her mom has made a viral video where she is lip-syncing to her kid's tantrum. She recorded it, and now she's pretending to do it. And it's pretty spectacular. I'm warning you, don't turn the radio up too loud for this one. What is that noise that children can make?
It's an ugly one, but it looks like it's coming out of the mom's mouth, so it's very funny.
Very funny. BBC coverage of the recent elections in Britain was pretty funny because Norman Smith is one of the commentators for the network, and he is on. He's talking about the head of one of the parties that got gained some new seats in Parliament there. His name is Nigel Farage, and this commentator on BBC accidentally called him the C word. Now, you don't see the C word on network television very often, but it happened in England.
He said in this article in the Times of the party turning into, quotes, an absolutist monarchy or personality and personality cult.
Cult.
That's what he meant to say, is cult.
Cult.
Little live broadcast error there. Very funny to watch that. Owen Wilson is an actor we all enjoy. He's probably been in 100 movies over his long career. And I didn't realize until I saw this supercut that he has said the word wow in probably most of them.
Wow.
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 Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Flippers and all. Wow.
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 Wow. And how'd that affect you with guys?
Wow. You know what he sounds like as you're listening to this? Doesn't he? He's like, wow, 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 wow.
I think I just added another voice to my repertoire.
Really? You can do Owen Wilson now?
Wow.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's spot
hey,
on.
Hey, I'm Owen Wilson. Wow.
That's spot here's on. Here's a new video series called Every Blank Ever, and the first one that they've tackled is Every Instagram Ever, where they walk you through all the Instagram photos that people take, including the one from Man Crush Monday, I think. This dad walks in, and he sees his son and his son's friend taking pictures of each other's abs, and, of course, he gets the wrong idea.
Okay, so you guys are like this.
Ugh, don't be dad. Todd's just my man crush Monday.
Hashtag man crush Monday. Hashtag parents just don't understand. Hashtag blessed.
It's really an annoying video, but actually kind of funny. Anna Kendrick stars in three of the Internet Roundup videos this week that you can see at Carrick.com. She's just adorable, by the way. One of them that she does is for something called the Red Nose Day. This is a big comedy charity thing that's coming up. And in this one, she is portraying the first female Indiana Jones. Check it out.
Choose wisely, for the true gray will bring you life, but the false gray will most certainly...
I'm going to take this one.
Such a plain cut for such a pretty lady.
Man, I'm a respected professor of archaeology. Times have changed.
I'm sorry. I meant it as a compliment.
I have degrees.
She's awesome, by the way, Anna Kendrick. Gay of Thrones is back. What do I say every week? Even if you don't watch the show, you should be watching the recaps. They're very funny on Funny or Die.
Evil Elijah's daddy, Rude Bader Ginsburg, tells them that he has some news of his own.
We're going to have a baby.
And then that evil Elijah Wood was body shaming his stepmother.
How did you find it?
Her vagina is, like, not hard to find. I'm sure it's very easy, very gorge.
And finally this week, speaking of Anna Kendrick, her Pitch Perfect 2 is in theaters everywhere today. Honest Trailers attacked this one. They're kind of making fun of the first movie. Even though I liked the first movie, somehow, like they always do, they managed to make it sound dumb.
So laugh along with some surprisingly funny moments. Then cringe at a script so acapulco forced in acapunch. You want to acapunch someone in the face.
Get rid of all the acapolitics.
My fellow acapeople.
We're going to have acachildren.
Hands in, acabitches.
Acabelieve it.
Aka awkward.
Aka enough. Aka stop it. Aka great. You've got me Aka doing it. Aka.
You can see all these videos at Kirek.com or KevinAbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin Abean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah.
Don't ask me to say any more than I'm about to say. But this time.
Give us more details.
This time Monday morning.
Say
you
more.
You don't want to miss the announcement that we have here on the Kevin Abean Show. I can say no more. This time Monday morning, around this time, on Monday's show. Around this time. You know, we're not, you can't pin us down to the minute, Kevin. You know how this show goes. But roughly this time
roughly.
Of day, on Monday morning, we are going to have an announcement that will blow some folks' minds. Maybe one of the biggest things that K-Rock has ever been associated with. I don't want to overstate it too much. Because I know it's easy to be disappointed. I can't imagine anyone could be disappointed by this news. So that'll be Monday right here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph has been bringing us the thrilling, practically play-by-play all morning long of what's going on with Johnny Depp down in Australia filming the latest in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie series. And this guy that he's been telling us about, this guy who works down there in Australia, what's his name? Where's the guy's name?
Barnaby?
Yeah, Barnaby Joyce. Barnaby Joyce sounds like a badass. He sounds like, oh, you have a dog? Oh, I didn't know you had a dog? Let me put your dog down. I mean, he sounds like he can't wait to euthanize Johnny Depp's dogs. It's kind of crazy, right?
Well, Johnny Depp snuck him into the country, and the country's not happy about that.
I would imagine a lot of people can sneak animals into lots of countries if they arrive via private jet. I imagine, you know, you land and you don't go through, you know, any kind of security or anything like that. You just hop out and jump in a limo and you're gone. I bet this happens all the time. But Johnny Depp got caught apparently because he took his dogs to an animal groomer who then put it up on Facebook. And that's how the authorities found out about it and realized he did not take his dogs through proper channels. So we wanted to find out more about this story. And believe it or not, Dave has lined up Mr. Barnaby Joyce himself from the Australian government on the phone on the Kevin Abean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Mr. Joyce. Thanks so much for coming on. We know you're very busy right now.
Crikey. Good day, Kevin Abean. How are you?
We're good. Well, good day to you as well. Now, you are a minister there in Australia, so animal control, that falls under your purview, sir?
That's right. I'm here to kill some dogs.
Okay, well, the goal isn't to kill any dog, so I mean, you
may
hope not.
Be your goal, mate, but it's my goal.
but that's last resort.
Look, it says it right on the flag. Welcome to Australia. We'll kill your dogs.
Yeah, I've never seen that. Is that true?
Have you ever seen the Australian flag?
Yes.
Well, it's right there on the flag.
Okay.
All right. Hold on a second. All right, number one.
We're playing a didgeridoo. Why are you doing that?
Barnaby? What's happening?
I'm playing me didgeridoo.
I see. Okay. Would you have to do that right now during the interview?
Yeah, we have to. It's Australia.
Right.
Okay. All right. So what's the problem? What law did Johnny
hey,
Depp...
look at that. The water goes down the drain the other way here.
You can't be surprised by that.
I can't stop looking at it.
What law did Mr. Depp violate down there, sir?
Well, you can't just bring animals into Australia.
Right.
Without going through proper channels.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And if we change the law for Johnny Depp, we got to change it for everyone.
Right. We understand that,
so
but...
dogs have to be murdered.
That's the move that seems like it's maybe a little extreme.
Maybe for you, but I'm murdering dogs.
Okay, but why don't you not do that? Why don't you instead just, like, give them a vet check and make
sure... Hold on, there's a dog trying to get out of here. Where's me boomerang? Here it is.
Oh, that's just sad.
Don't do dog in Australia.
Oh. No, don't
There's
throw.
There's got to be a more humane way, Barnaby. Well, maybe not.
On the Barbie.
Oh, no, now you're going to eat it?
And don't. Open a Foster's for me.
You're a good shot with a boomerang.
For beer, mate.
You're a good shot with a boomerang.
Well, we are all down here. Oh. Two things we know how to do. Throw boomerangs and play the didgeridoo.
Right.
So, okay, we heard that. We don't have to. Okay. So, Barnaby. Okay, Mr. Joyce. Barnaby?
Crikey, that's a lot of wind it takes to blow that thing.
Yeah. My question for you is
that's
why...
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Why kill Johnny Depp's dogs rather than just give them a vet check and make sure they don't have lepto or rabies or whatever it is you're afraid of bringing into the country?
Too late for that. He had a chance to do it when he first brought them in the country.
Right.
Now it's time to murder some dogs. Oh, there's another one trying to get away.
No, don't do that. Ah, oh, you hit another one.
Another notch on the old boomerang.
Oh, that's so sad.
Oh, I got a time to play didgeridoo again.
Excellent.
That's a pretty sweet one right there.
Mr. Joyce? Jeez.
Yeah, that's impressive.
How long can this go on?
Barnaby? He's a very busy man, isn't he?
Barnaby!
Mike? I guess we'll check in. Let's go check in with him another time.
Do you think I'm going to play a commercial before he's...
That would rip my butthole!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
What was your theory right there at the end of the song? I missed it. I didn't hear the whole thing, Ralph.
Kevin was saying how sad it is that B.B. King is gone.
Right.
And yet Bill Cosby lives.
Correct.
And I
That's
just,
true. You should be able to choose.
Absolutely.
Like, we should get a say, right?
We vote on everything else in this country.
Sure.
Why can't
not?
We vote on who dies and who lives?
Good idea.
Right? Who's with me?
Just saying. Ralph is here with
Australia
the
show. Australia has the right idea. That's all
I'm saying. Boy, that guy got business done, didn't he?
He did.
Something else. Ralph is here. Time for the show. Be now on a Friday morning. It's 8:56.
As we mentioned, blues legend B.B. King has passed away. He died last night at the age of 89. B.B. suffered with diabetes, was in poor health in the past year or so, and apparently his daughter told a local Las Vegas TV station that her father may have had a minor heart attack back in 2014 when he had to bow out of 4 dates for his concert tour, but he worked almost up until the end of his life. A legendary live performer, also had 40 studio albums to his credit, was inducted not only to the Blues Hall of Fame in 1980, but also the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987. He won 15 Grammy Awards in his lifetime. Also had 15 kids in his lifetime. He is survived by 11 of those living children. Scored his first hit back in 1951 with a great song called 3 O'Clock Blues. But his biggest hit, which went to number 15 on the Billboard Top 100 chart, was a song called The Thrill Is Gone. Here's the late, great B.B. King.
Thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away.
someday.
Man, that song just makes you want to tie off and find a vein, doesn't it?
Sort of does, yeah.
Just give me a big syringe and just let me go away for a little while to the sounds of B.B. King.
He is, I think, arguably the most famous blues musician that ever lived, Ralph, B.B. King. Maybe not
John
the
Mayall,
single
maybe?
Most influential. I would think maybe that would be Robert Johnson. But B.B. King, in terms of just decades of popularity,
yeah,
influence everybody from Eric Clapton to ZZ Top to U2, you name it.
I think people who have no idea about blues music would still recognize B.B. King.
I think so, too. Yeah. Kevin, you have to hate him because he was so old, right?
I don't, actually.
What?
Wow, nice.
I don't like that. I like that song.
Wow. A little boy's growing up.
Yeah, I just said two opposing things. I did, yeah. I don't feel that way. I like that song.
And yes, Bill Cosby still lives.
Yeah.
For the first time, to my knowledge, he is speaking out, sort of, about the allegations of over 40 women who have accused him of drugging them and sexually assaulting them. In an interview with ABC News, they aired a little bit of it on Good Morning America this morning. He is currently trying to raise funds for impoverished inner-city schools near Selma, Alabama. But the reporter who was covering that story couldn't help but ask about the allegations. And I think, finally, Bill has addressed it in a way that settles everything for us. Now we understand completely.
Oh, great.
I have been in this business 52 years, and I've never seen anything like this. And reality is the situation. And I can't speak.
There you go. I think that's all that needs to be said.
What?
I think I know what he's trying to say.
Please.
I don't speak Bill Cosby.
That reality is the situation?
I think, yes. I could be wrong here. I think what he's trying to say is the truth is the truth, and he's not going to respond to other people's versions of the truth, other people's made-up allegations. I think he believes in a different reality.
I understand what you're saying. When Bill puts it as succinctly as he does, why would you put words in the man's mouth? He's told us already. He's been in the business 52 years, never seen anything like this. The reality is the situation.
He did say that.
And
he
can't
speak. That should have made it more clear, I guess. But I understand that there's going to be more of this interview aired on Nightline tonight, and I'll try to check that out, too, because at some point I hope somebody says, are all 40-plus of these women lying, Bill? Is that what you say? Is that your position? They're all lying?
I'm more concerned about his future plans, which sounds like some great TV projects on the horizon.
I have a ton of ideas to put on television about people and their love for each other.
What?
I hope it's a long TV show.
What is happening?
Cause the words come slowly to the man with the roofies. He's going to make TV shows about people loving each other. He's getting into porn, basically, is what he's going to do.
Is he losing it mentally? Is he losing it, do you think?
Listen, he was always eccentric in his delivery.
Yeah, but he used to say things.
He said some things there. You don't know, man.
I don't know.
And, of course, a regular fixture up at the Playboy Mansion. Bill Cosby has been for many years, was the host of the Playboy Jazz Festival for many years as well. And Playboy's also in the news because they have announced their 2015 Playboy Playmate of the Year, Danny Mathers.
Boobies!
Congratulations to Danny. Not only a centerfold, but she was also in Furious 7.
She was?
Yes. And she had a recurring role on The Bold and the Beautiful. So she's an actress as well as a model. Ooh. And she is, well, understandably proud. Here's her quote. I've waited for this for so long. Like with any accomplishment, you work hard and hope it will pay off. She said about her breasts. And I'm getting a lot of angry emails from people.
What are they angry about now?
Because I said Danny's a lovely young lady. She's attractive, beautiful, busty, blonde, playmate. But her mouth's a little too big for her head. That's all. Her mouth's a little bit too big for her face. Lots of angry people saying, thanks. Now all I can see is her giant mouth and her head pivoting 180 degrees when she opens it.
Oh, I'm so mad!
So, there's one right there.
So I apologize.
She does look like a Pez dispenser, though.
Just saying, she's got a lot of mouth.
You guys might be looking at the wrong parts.
Can I look at all the parts, Kevin? Or am I have to be like you and just look at areola? Is that what I'm limited to?
I love areola.
Well, open up your eyes, man. The reality is the situation.
I hear that that's true.
It is true. Guy told me once.
Uh-huh.
She does have a huge mouth,
just
though.
Saying.
Like Julia Roberts-esque, right?
She crushes Julia Roberts in the mouth department.
She's got about 60 teeth.
Julia Roberts has the vein in the forehead, though. That's the thing that
I can't take that away from her.
Can't get past that.
But, rumor has it when Danny Mathers eats, she just dislocates her jaw and just swallows her prey whole. That's how big her mouth is.
I don't think that's a rumor.
And you can see like a rat right there in the middle of her stomach before it gets digested. It's true. I read it on the centerfold. She likes long walks on the beach. She likes foot massages.
Uh-huh.
And she likes to dislocate her jaw and eat her prey whole.
Okay.
There's a special on National Geographic tonight of a guy in a special suit who's going to be swallowed whole by Danny Mathers and then try to get himself out.
All right, that I'm going to watch.
That's going to be a great show. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chaz Palminteri is 69 years old today. Actor David Krumholtz turns 37. And actress Jamie Lynn Sigler celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I feel like I'm right in the middle of an intervention right now.
Yeah, Kevin, we that's something we've wanted to tell you for a long time. I've written a letter here telling about how your behavior has affected me over
Everyone
the past
is in the studio. I feel
years.
A little weird right now.
Dear
Where's
Kevin,
Dr. Drew?
We've worked together for a long time now.
I don't think that's what we're doing here, Ralph.
I feel your performance of late has been,
Ralph,
even for you, subpar.
I
can't help but blame the drugs and alcohol for this change
right
in behavior.
Now, I don't think.
You hurt
Ralph.
Me when you hurt yourself.
Ralph.
I care about you and your family, and I
Ralph
feel...
Garvin.
What?
The intervention's at 10. This is the Kevin and Bean Aroki. We're doing
crap.
That.
That's
really
sorry. Okay, forget the whole thing I said.
Okay. The sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast CPS, the 2015, believe it or not, kids, is finally here. It is tomorrow at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. This is the worst game we have, and that's why we save it till the last day. It's Kevin and Bean Aroki. Hit it, Steve.
If you want tickets to a show, and if you really want to go see a band,
Kevin and Bean Aroki is unfortunately exactly what it sounds like. We spin the actual wheel. It lands on somebody on the show, and they have to sing one of the songs from one of the groups that's going to be performing tomorrow at Irvine Meadows. All you have to do is come up with it by title and artist, and you are in the drawing to win the tickets. By the way, tickets in the pit.
Woo!
And backstage passes. So
that's correct.
We're all here. We're going to spin the wheel. Ralph, you're going to sing if it lands on you, right?
Yeah.
Dave King of Mexico?
Yeah.
Muggsy?
Woo!
Kevin?
Woo! Shut up, Dival!
Chip?
Woo! Don't you get in my Aroki?
Allie
Donkey.
And
yep.
Me. I think that's all of us here. So I guess let's meet our first contestant and spin the wheel.
Our first contestant is Emily in Woodland Hills. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Emily.
We apologize for what you're about to hear, but you need to tell us the artist and the song title,
okay,
as it is done by one of the Kevin and Bean Show. And this particular right. person is Beer Mug.
Beer Mug!
You ready, Emily? You ready for this magic?
I will try.
Okay, here we go. I just wanna know if you're gonna stay. I just gotta know. I can't have it any other way. I swear she's destined for the screen.
I think that's enough.
Closest thing to Michelle Pfeiffer that you've ever seen.
That's plenty. Stop.
Let's see. I know it.
Oh, good.
You know it? That's good.
Song and artist.
I know the rest of the lyrics.
Right, but we need the name of the song and the artist, please.
Running out of time here. I'm sorry, Emily.
Just guess.
I just wanna know. Yep, that was Vance Joy.
Vance Joy Riptide is what we were looking for this time around, but thank you for playing the game anyway.
All right, next up is Jennifer in Los Angeles.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Jennifer. Did we wake you? You okay?
No.
Let's see who's going to be singing for you, Jennifer.
Oh, landed on Bean. Bean will be singing for you. Good luck with this.
I am the worst singer of all of you guys.
Oh, you're the best.
You're the best.
All right, Jennifer, listen up.
I chime in with a, haven't you people ever heard of? Closing a goddamn door. No, it's much better to face these kinds of things with a sense of poison rationality.
You've heard the song, right, Bean? You've heard the song before.
I didn't know Nick was going to sing.
Jennifer, title and artist, please. That's the best I could do.
No, it isn't.
Hi, it's Panic at the Disco.
Yes.
And I think it's called I Write Sins Not Tragedies.
Yes, it is.
Yes!
Done by Mr. Bill.
You are amazing, Jennifer, that you got that from what he did.
You are in the drawing. You are one step closer to being America's Next Top Model.
Nope.
Congratulations. Hold on. What are we doing?
We're doing Kevin and Bean Aroki. That's what we're doing.
Right.
Kevin
and Bean Aroki.
Let's go to Ivan. Hello, Ivan.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Very good, thank you. You ready to see who sings your lyrics?
Yes, I am.
All right. Artist and song, please. The person singing will be Allie.
Allie McKay.
Allie McKay. Here we go.
Sorry, Ivan and everyone.
I don't like walking around this old and empty house. So hold my hand, I'll walk with you, my dear. The stairs creak as I sleep. It's keeping me awake.
It's the house telling you to close your eyes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Is that D Edward?
One-woman duet. That was special.
All right, Ivan, do you know what that is?
Yes, it's of Monsters and Men, Little Talk.
Yes, it is.
Yes!
All
right, Ivan.
That was pretty good.
I mean,
that was good.
Sounds just like
for a murderer.
All I know is Muggs' caller didn't get his. That's all.
That's
I know.
All I know.
All right, who's up next?
Let's
wasn't
go to
my fault.
Aaron in Northridge. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
All right, you
Hi.
Ready? Spin the wheel to see who's going to sing you your lyrics. Ralph Garman.
Oh,
Ralph
Garman.
All right, Aaron. Here's your song.
He's the most accomplished of all of our singers. Of course, you may know him from his band Worst Thumb.
That's right.
We were victims of the night.
Shut up and dance by Walk the Moon.
Nicely done.
Wow.
One line. Boom. Drop the mic.
Shut up and let him sing a song.
Boom.
You just deprived us of a concert experience there, by the way.
All you need is a couple notes. Boom.
All right. I think we got time for maybe a couple more.
All right. Eric, hi.
Hi.
Eric. Spinning the wheel, and it's landing on me, Kevin.
Yes! Now, Kevin, we have to ask, are you going to sing like the rest of us, or are you going to blow hum, as is your wont?
How dare you? That's what I try to whistle.
Okay.
I'm going to sing.
No one's gonna take me alive. Time has come to make things right. You and I must fight for the rights. You and I must fight to survive.
Milked it.
You better get this. That's a performance.
You better get this, Eric.
Is it Muse, Nights at Sinodonia?
It is.
Yeah. I mean, that's the lesser version right there. If we
beautifully done. All right. How about one more?
All right. Let's go to Brig.
Hello?
Is your name Brig?
It is Brig.
Okay.
Brig.
Fantastic.
All right. Your father in the Navy?
Yeah. And it landed on Dave the King of Mexico.
Oh,
yeah. Now, you guys know I do impressions, but, man, my singing voice isn't that
We're
great.
So sorry, Brig.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. I do believe it's true that there are roads left in both of our shoes, but in the silence takes you, then I hope it takes me too.
Oh,
that sounds exactly like the original. Yes. Oh, wait.
Seriously, though, have you heard the song?
No.
What do you think there, Brig? Here's a hint. It's one of the bands that's playing tomorrow at the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
That was awful.
No, it was good.
No idea, it sounds like.
Sounds like you're right.
Take a guess.
Brig, any luck?
Any guess?
Brig?
It was just the same language,
I don't think.
Sorry, Brig. Thank you for playing anyway. Jennifer, you're in. Ivan as well. Aaron and Eric all in the drawing to win the tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2015 in the pit at Backstage Passes. Only one can win. Miss Allie McKay, who is it?
The winner is Aaron.
Aaron.
Yeah. Aaron.
Congratulations, Aaron.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean Aroki.
Kevin and Bean Aroki.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph. And he just ran out. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
So Kevin and Bean Lister Craig writes in. He'd like some clarification. Let me get this straight, guys. Kevin doesn't like the Three Stooges, but the only funny thing in Paul Blart is a guy running into a glass wall?
It's incomprehensible to me that given Kevin and who he is, that his favorite comedy team of all time isn't the Three Stooges.
I think I never paid attention to them ever. Ever.
So,
but you must have seen them at some point. Yeah. You must have come across
them. It's all louts. It's just guys getting hit with wrenches and like getting a nose pulled with pliers and
kicked
sound effects and loud and falling. And
but they can see that.
One of them's very fat, Kevin, and he gets hit all the time. He runs into things.
But they can see that coming. They don't run into a really clean pane of
glass.
Shut
up.
I think Craig makes an excellent point that this is a bizarre hiccup in what we think we know about Kevin is that he doesn't like the Three Stooges.
Is it opposite day?
Nope.
Is it Bizarro weekend or whatever the thing is that you celebrate?
I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
No. Well,
you are a riddle wrapped in a conundrum, enveloped in a
enigma.
Quesadilla.
Yeah, I think it's an enigma.
Sorry, I'm confused.
All right, 9:40, time for our last look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph, and then we'll sing that song we all love.
Anybody want to be watching the Billboard Music Awards on Sunday?
Hells yeah.
Big, big lineup. Everybody's going to be there.
All right, so hells yeah must mean...
That's where Taylor Swift is debuting her Bad Blood music video.
Yep.
Can't wait.
Yep.
Pitbull and Chris Brown are going to sing a song.
Oh, man.
Yeah, can you imagine something more hateable?
Wow.
First Taylor Swift, then add Pitbull.
That's two middle fingers at us right there.
150% party.
But he's just
and
he's
then Chris,
worldwide.
Chris Brown on top of that. Chris Brown and Pitbull working together on their duet, Fun.
Oh, dear God.
Then Taylor Swift and her BS. Then Britney Spears and Iggy Azalea.
Yeah.
We'll be doing Pretty Girls.
That's your favorite song this week, Ralph.
So you got all that going for you in one show. You just plunge knitting needles into my eyes.
Same. Well, since Bean's excited to see it, he can bring us highlights if there are any.
Then Molly Ringwald's going to come out, and she's going to introduce a tribute for the 30th anniversary of the Breakfast Club movie, and then Simple Minds will come out and sing Don't You Forget About Me.
That's not true.
That's great.
That's going to happen.
That's true.
That's wonderful.
Is it wonderful,
yes.
Allie?
Yes.
If only there was some way you could hear Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds. Oh, that's right. You can get it anywhere.
I bet other people will come out, like Judd Nelson and his nostrils. And I bet they'll all come out, don't you think?
No.
Not just Molly. I think it'll be a big surprise.
I don't think so.
By the way, of interest to K-Rock fans, one of the things that we will see Sunday night is Imagine Dragons. And I can't picture how this will be good, but they are supposed to Stand By Me as a tribute to the late Benny King. They're going to do that song. Can you picture that? I can't.
Yeah, I can picture it.
And your boys Van Halen are performing too, I think.
Yes. Keeps getting better.
It's all just something I don't want anything to do with.
The show has everything that I don't want.
Who's trying to kill you two? I demand to know. I want an investigation of some kind launched.
I feel like you two is trying to kill you two.
No, I think Bono was taken out by a sniper.
Okay.
And I think someone cut a couple feet off the stage last night in Vancouver, in the Couve. Because The Edge, first show.
Yeah.
Just tumbled off the stage.
He fell right off the stage.
He did. What does that remind me of? Who falls off stages?
Can't think of anyone.
I mean, I guess we should be surprised this doesn't happen more often when you think how much running around they're doing in a different city every night, not being completely familiar with where they are. It's dark. They're busy playing an instrument. I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but it's still scary when it happens.
We got the video up on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you want to check it out, but it is scary. Bean did it was much funnier. Edge doesn't have Bean's comic timing.
That's true.
That's why it is. That's what it is. Speaking of music, sad news. Blues legend B.B. King has passed away. Bean's all torn up about it, you can tell.
I am. I'm actually post-sad. I'm not just sad, I'm post-sad.
Here's the thing. We get a lot of hate from individuals when they go, how can you play that sound effect when somebody dies? Bean does that for every death.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who it is or if he's personally involved at all. He plays that sound effect.
Legendary guitar player. Passed away last night at the age of 89. Had been suffering from diabetes and some heart issues, bad health the past year or so. But he left behind a body of work that will last forever. 40 studio albums, 15 Grammy Awards, Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Blues Hall of Fame. Just one of the greats.
I met him one time, Ralph.
Did you really?
I did. At an airport in Amsterdam. I sat next to him for a few minutes, waiting
Poor
for a flight.
Bastard.
And
about the blues?
Why do you have the blues?
What chords do you play when you play the blues?
BB. Hey, BB. Hey, BB. Hey, BB. BB.
What does B and B stand for?
Why BB? Why not AA or CC?
It wasn't BBs like
that. BBs are ugly
that.
Letters. I like at pretty all. Letters. Like D. I like DD.
We had a nice chat.
Nope.
About,
you had a nice chat.
Music.
BB did not.
He's a very pleasant man.
BB wanted to take his own life.
He did at that point.
It's a miracle he lived as long after our interaction as he did, yeah. Come to think of it.
Yeah.
About 10 years ago, I guess.
You.
Sweat a lot.
Why? Why don't you dab? Why don't you dab the sweat? BB. Hey, BB. BB.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Hey, BB. BB.
Where are you sitting on the plane? Where are you sitting, BB?
I'm canceling my flight.
But
I gotta go.
I like the blues.
I'm diabetic. I'm gonna go eat some sugar and try to kill myself.
BB's biggest hit was probably "The Thrill Is Gone."
You say the thrill is gone.
Where did it go?
The thrill is gone, baby.
Where the thrill goes? Where does it go? Is it like a...
The thrill is gone.
Thrill
away.
Warehouse? They have discount thrill centers? We can get used thrills when they leave?
You know you've baby, done me baby, wrong, baby.
Hey, baby. Baby. Hey, baby.
You'll be sorry.
Where are you going, Mr. King? Hey, come back. The flight doesn't leave for an hour.
Oh, poor bastard.
Can you get the thrill back?
He probably welcomed death last night as he was thinking, at least I'll never run into that guy again.
You think so?
And congratulations. We've been celebrating her all day long. Danny Mathers is your 2015 Playboy Playmate of the Year.
Yay!
She is a beautiful young blonde lady right here from California, by the way. I believe from Encino, I want to say. She's a Valley girl.
My nipples are so hard.
And she's a departure for Playboy. She's blonde and busty.
What? Oh, yeah. Wow.
I know. They're mixing things up. Playboy is reinventing itself. She also is very controversial. She's a controversial choice.
Because
of her stand on pubic hair.
She has a stand on?
Oh, yes.
Is she
she's
for it?
She's pro pubic hair.
Oh.
And, you know, that's very... That's controversial.
That's very dividing.
She's
yeah.
a little bit of an outlier.
She's swimming upstream.
But that's where the way the tide has been turning for some time now, though, right? Isn't that where we're headed?
Slowly but surely, it's been creeping its way back into Pence. Yes.
Right.
And here's one of her controversial statements. I mean, people are upset about this.
It's like unwrapping a gift, I feel. It's kind of like, literally, I think you have to give a little more to the imagination rather than just seeing all of it. Also, I kind of feel more like a woman. I was starting to feel like a 12-year-old boy for a minute.
So, there you go. It's her pro-pubic hair stand.
Giant size can.
She is Team Bush.
All right. Okay.
You're not going to bring up the other controversial thing about this election, Ralph, this time because you're getting too much hate on the internet?
About her...
enormous.
Her mouth's a little big.
Huge.
A little big. Her mouth's a little outsized.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a little bit... She looks... I'm not saying her mouth is big.
Right.
But remember... Janice, the Muppet from the yes. Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem, that band.
Yes.
Very reminiscent of Janet, who her entire top of her head flips back when she laughs.
I do feel like she could swallow the ocean.
Well, I'm just saying there's a lot of mouth.
Nope.
Just a lot of mouth. But she's lovely.
Yes.
Yeah. Very nice. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chaz Palminteri is 69 years old today. Actor David Krumholtz celebrates his 37th birthday. And actress Jamie Lynn Sigler, you know her, of course, as Meadow Soprano from the TV program The Sopranos, 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We will see you tomorrow at Irvine Meadows. Noon, we're going to be on the radio at K-Rock, and the band start at 2 o'clock for the live webcast.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm going to go town.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Who is this person?
Roll another one.
She has two vaginas.
Just like the other one.
what you feel.
This one seems to be about Quinn.
When you're a girl, and girls are dumb.
Another hit.
You say goodbye, but Kevin's already hung up. Hung up, hung up. Don't know why you say goodbye. Kevin's already hung up.
Roll,
roll.
Myself, I'm a drummer.
Just like the other one.
Completely not cool.
This one seems to be about to end.
The giant fat pig person.
I don't have another cent.
I get out of the shower, look in the mirror. I'm impressed because I look freaking awesome.
But don't fuck up that joint.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
Just pass it around.
Punch, punch, kick.
Guys are dicks.
I'll just pass it on down.
Okay. If you really want out, there's the door. Good. I'm gonna go then.
Fine. I guess you're just not cut out for the biz.
Holy crap. I don't know who the hell we think we are when we do something like that. That's pitiful. I mean, it's absolutely pitiful to perform like that. Pitiful.
What are you doing inside?
Work was hard, so we quit.
What?
Hard work made us quit.
I see.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Get out of my house! Now!
Go to